Rides for League Scenes. Look at round 27 of the NRL Telstra Premiership. It is our final regular season recap before we move on to the big smoke of matches in this season. I'm AJ Luke Antonio, contributor for League Unlimited website, the Front Row Program, and I do the stats with Stats Perform. Joining us, our news hound, Reece Sullivan. G'day, mate.
Oh, g'day, g'day, AJ. How are we?
Much happier, AJ, this week, but we'll get to why I'm a little bit happy as we get through the program. We're going to go through all 8 games. We're going to go through round 8 of the NRL Women's Telstra Women's Premier. Oh, sorry, round 7 of the Telstra Women's Premiership. We'll go through all 5 games there. Week 2 of the Host Plus Cup semifinals, and also the first week of finals in the knock-on effect New South Wales Cup. With that agenda all lined up, are you ready to go?
Let's get straight into it.
And we're going to kick off with a Queensland Cup match between the winner Manly Magpies and the Easts Falcons, otherwise known as the Brisbane Broncos of the Melbourne Storm. 32-22 win for the Melbourne Storm in this one. A lot of criticism has come of the rest period of what these two teams did, but I thought it was a good game of football, a great spectacle, a lot of young kids on show. What are your thoughts on this whole split round idea or this bye week heading into the finals?
Nah, like, it works in the AFL, but they only get one bye throughout the whole week. If West are going to get in the NRL 3 byes, at least until the 18th team comes in, there's no point going giving an extra week off at the end of the season. That's just unnecessary. But, you know, as we saw this week, like, there were still a lot of teams that are going to be playing in the finals next week that didn't rest their players. In the end, I think, 5 teams didn't rest players, 3 teams did. So.
Yeah, 100% right, my friend. But some good storylines to come out of it. Tristan Saylor was dynamic. Tommy Flegler, the Banana Man himself. Pleasing to report that the Broncos fans didn't throw their bananas onto the Suncorp Stadium pitch. Brendan Piakura placed on report 3 times, somehow avoided a fine, and we'll be back to
avoided a suspension.
Avoided a suspension. He still got fined, but we still think this is the right system, PVL.
It's a weird one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But like at the same time, I do feel the only one that maybe could have been a grade 2 was the hit on Suafalanga.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it was borderline.
Borderline, and I think, is a good point.
Deemed just to be report sufficient. So, you know, they stuck with the grade 1 call. End of the day, I feel like it's not the end of the world. And besides, you know, obviously from a Broncos fan's perspective, I'm happy to see Piakura on the field next week. But yeah, look, obviously going into the finals now as well, the system changes again. It makes it even harder to be suspended. So, yeah.
All good, my friend. Tristan Saylor, dynamic at the back. Josh Rogers on debut was sound. I didn't think he was bad. I didn't think he did anything spectacular at the same time. Blake Moser, we've hyped this man up in our lower grade report all year long. I thought he was solid. Did some nice things. Ran the ball, something Corey Pakes just didn't do in his 18-minute stint. But I want to ask a couple questions of you and of this side. Out of Jensen Tapaupalosia, on what you have seen this season, who would you give those the bench spot to?
Bench, I would give it to CJ. I think out of those 3, Tapa is clearly the odd one out. I think he showed the game against Melbourne that he is prone to making errors. Obviously, we saw that moment of madness against South Sydney. but in between Palacia and CJ, Palacia has been excellent for us. Obviously, filling in at prop with Flegler injured and then moving to lock with Carrigan out. But I think off the bench, CJ just provides a bit more impact than Palacia does. If we're going to be switching him with Flegler or switching him with Carrigan or Haas throughout the match, that impact is something we need. So I'd stick with Corey Jensen on the bench.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Now, the big problem this week in Bronco land tends to be one of the right wing spots. Jesse Arthur's preferred over Corey Oates. Now, don't get me wrong. I thought Arthur's was found out at centre defensively. But in terms of the combinations, I still think he's the best fit.
Yeah, he's played the most games on that wing spot this season. Obviously, with Corey Oates' injury history this year, unfortunately. And he's also, it's worth noting, he scored 8 tries at wing, whereas Corey Oates scored none. So, obviously, Oates's, you know, work out of yardage will be very hard to replicate without him. But we've proven this season we can win games without Corey Oates. And if we're, especially against Melbourne, which is a team that it's very hard to take chances against, you need to have a winger that can finish, I feel.
Yeah, 100%. And also, before we touch on the cruel blow for Xavier Wilson.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but, you know, I didn't think he had too much chance of being picked in that final squad. He'll be back the preseason, though, which I think going forward, especially with the losses of Legler and Palacia, he will be in the frame to not lock down a bench spot next year. So,
fair enough. On the Storm, obviously, Ryan Papenhuyzen is where our talks all lie. Very dynamic fullback, went into the halves in the second half, was quite solid. Grant Anderson, mixed bag for Grant. Had 2 tries, could have easily had a third if he wasn't a Derek and stepped his foot on the sideline. But a lot of attention on this young, dynamic fullback off the bench, Suafa Longo.
Yeah, he is an exciting machine. You know, we've touched on him a couple of times in the lower grade report. Obviously, getting his chance this week, and he Keith proved himself, didn't he? A couple of nice tries, really just dynamic in attacking and the kick return. Looked really first grade ready.
Yeah, and that sets up a very interesting scenario. Justin Olam at centre, quite strong. Good to see him back in there. Tarek Sims and Tepai Moroa, of course, pushing for bench spots. Another name we mentioned a lot in the lower grade report has been that of Jack Howarth. I thought very solid defensively, made 31 tackles in his first grade debut, along with 9 runs for 80 metres. But both sides are going to look completely different next Friday night. You're going to see at most a handful of players from the Melbourne Storm. And for the Broncos, you'll probably see about less than half, I'd say, of what we saw on Thursday night.
Definitely. I do have one question, AJ.
Fire away.
Okay, so obviously you touched on Papenhuyzen moving to the halves toward in the second half with Far Longo coming on.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a sign that if Melbourne can't have Hughes, if Hughes is out for obviously this week, do you think that's a sign they're going to go with a halves combination of Munster and Papenhuyzen?
Maybe. That's what they're looking towards. And obviously you have Meany at fullback. But yeah, that's a very interesting scenario. And I think when you're
looking... Because the alternative with Pezzetta, the alternative will be Jaden Nicarima.
That's not a bad one. I thought he had one of his better first grade games on Thursday night.
Again, it's not the excellent litmus test that's going up against that Broncos team.
I know that. I'm just saying that it was one of his better NRL performances.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, definitely. I think even Tyron Wishart, I mean, once he moved to hooker, I thought Melbourne were a little bit better. But it'll be very interesting to see how this started. Also, just to finish off the debutant talk, Joe Chan was really good, I thought, in his 21-minute stint. Anything else you want to talk about before we move on to Friday Night Footy, my friend?
I'll just say I'm looking very forward to getting a chance to play Melbourne again. In a much more important match. And I'm happy that we get to do it on a match that, for the first time ever, one of these teams won't be going home.
Is that right?
Yeah, every time we played Melbourne. So 98 was finals week 2. 04, 05 were finals week two. 06 was the grand final.
Time out. 04 was finals week one because Talis did his neck and you moved the final to Townsville.
Oh, yes, that's right. There we go. Second time. But yeah, so 07 was week one. That was eliminated because we finished 8. 08 was a semi-final. 09 was a prelim. And then 2017 was a prelim. So,
yeah. 100%, my friend. And at least you won't be debuting any wingers against the Storm this time. We don't want any Orwin Simpson throwbacks, don't we?
Israel Liotta, I'm sorry, buddy.
You could bring Joe Tabardi back for some memes.
I'd rather not, thanks.
Okay, moving on to Friday Night Footy. Manly four. Tiger 12. Thank you very much for telling us what platform you're on, buddy. But first and foremost, big congratulations to Belinda Sharp. First solo referee game. She did referee 9 previous matches under the 2 referee system. She did a really good job, I thought, when looking back at the offside data. Of all of the 10-meter lines she set, she only had about 15 missed offside, 15% of missed offsides across about 190 lines of 10 meters she set.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. But Manly, they set up for what has been a disappointing back end of the year. 10 tries, absolutely ruthless, and a couple of charity tries to go with it.
Yeah, just a couple of nice ones. Got the guys being a bit nice. But yeah, so yeah, great way to end the season for Manly. I feel like finally got the attack to click that they've been missing since Thurber got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of spark. And yeah, they walked away with a big win. But again, a really disappointing way for the Tigers season to end. I know it's been another year of disappointment for the Tigers, but for them to come out and really give very limited effort, just I feel for the fans.
Thank you for mentioning the fans. There was a poster and banner at the front of on one of the ends of Brookvale Oval about Justin Pascoe, which very suspiciously was taken down by security for the second game in a row.
Second, I believe.
Yeah, like, let me have a look at it. West Tigers fans protest. Yeah, let's have a look and see what this banner said. They had the Pascoe fiasco at Combank a fortnight ago, and then there was whatever this protest was. So, Tigers fans very unhappy with the way their club is operating. But for Manly, Tolu Kola outstanding, 300 metres. Not bad for a fifth-choice fullback.
Oh, definitely not.
Elsewhere. Oh, sorry.
Question though, heading into next year, obviously we're all going to be hoping Turbo stays healthy, but Yarrick or Cola as the first choice backup from what we've seen with Turbo out?
I think the sample size on Cola needs to be taken with a grain of salt because it's been Canterbury and Wests.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
That's the only thing that I see me going, I think, ooh, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I think Garrick's definitely the safer option out of the two. But at the same time, I think if Manly are willing to risk a little bit, they can probably start the game with Cooler and then probably maybe go switch him around half-time, 60 minutes or so, if you need to go to that safety blanket.
Yeah, 100%. I think that could be an interesting option. Saab did some interesting things. 267 metres.
The next train out west was backed down by
simply 237 metres. Jesus Christ. Homoli Olakau'atu, great. Offaly was outstanding. Ethan Bullimore rewarded with a new contract to stay. 157 metres and a try on half time.
On platform 9.
But all runway traffic, wasn't it, Reese?
Yeah. Tigers never really got a chance to get going in this one. I felt, you know, pretty much from start to finish, Manly were just in control. You good?
Cole with 16 tackle breaks.
Yeah, I felt Manly were just in control the whole way through. Stanley Cherry Evans at his metronomic best to really just keep the Tigers out of the game.
Yeah.
And obviously the Tigers managed to get a couple of tries, but yeah, never really looked like threatening Manly's win.
Yeah. For Manly, though, it isn't all sunshine and rainbows. Despite the 46-point win, it's understood Ben Condon, KO Weeks, Zach Fulton, Kalmatul Lungi, Carl Lawton have all had talks with the club and will all leave if they're able to find better offers elsewhere. None of the players being forced down. If they can't secure a better deal at rival clubs, they'll report to training in November. They do not need to move any players on because of salary cap constraints. Instead, it's about getting a better balanced roster.
Yeah, which makes sense. Obviously, they've got a lot of backline depth. Weeks is probably the most surprising out of the five. But I guess at the same time, now with, you know, you got Trbojevic, you got Garrick, you got Cooler, you don't really need another player who can come and play fullback. So,
yeah. What are the odds that Zach Fulton ends up at the Tigers?
I think pretty high. I don't know why I think that, but I think it's pretty high.
And also, I think Tigers fans are justified. Kalmatul Lungi off.
Oh, yeah, 100% they are.
But for the Tigers, where do we even begin? I had to do the stats for the Tigers on Friday night, so I was close to committing a couple of crimes. I felt sorry for the two debutants. Lau Lili, I thought he was quite strong off the bench. 11 runs, 92 metres. You can't ask for too much more than that.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, in his job. But
19 runs, Sorry, 19 tackles, 3 misses. The leader of the missed tackle club, Isaiah Papali'i, 27 made tackles, 10 misses, 3 ineffective.
Jeez. Hasn't he been a bit of a stinker signing?
Yeah, it's been a bit ugly. Clemmer was the only player not to miss a tackle, but he had 1 ineffective.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah,
very
much a dog afternoon, eight turned evening. And also the other debutant, Josh Felity, got given a bit of a bath down that right-hand side. But I guess as much as we want to say, where did the Tigers go from here? I think this is rock bottom.
Yeah, definitely. Like I've touched on a couple times already, obviously whatever Hadji Pantelis is telling the agents at the club, they're buying. I think the Tigers are now laying the frameworks for the successful rebuild. Probably the biggest challenge for the Tigers will be keeping the faith in Reggie Marshall going forward. I think if you're going to commit to this rebuild, you have to commit as Benji as your head coach for at least the next 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the results, I think he has to stay. Obviously, the big question is going to be how much more leash does Pascal have? Because if he hangs around, then definitely the Tigers are going to, they aren't going to move forward very much.
Yeah, 100%. Right, my friend, and I just, it hurts to talk about the Tigers because you want to be nice. You want to say that there's pieces that are in place. I was trying to be nice. I was talking about Lau Lili. Fanua Bolo had one of his better games running the football defensively. It was one of the better efforts, only missing 3 tackles. Clemmer and Swal were good. Bula tried his backside off at fullback. But there's just so many unanswered questions at the club. There are so many problems there. And sooner rather than later, people need to be accountable.
100%.
100%. Moving on. My time to celebrate this week. Roosters 26, South Sydney 12. First and foremost, how the fuck we got here, I don't know. It is one of the mysteries of this 2023 season. that I don't think I'll resolve quickly. Because we have no right to be playing finals football. But, and you can back me up because I've said that all year.
Yep, true.
It has been an interesting year, and I thought the moment Toops and Manu were ruled out that we were in trouble. But I have to commend Corey Allen, and I have to commend Junior Pauga.
Exactly.
And also, before I get to a couple of stars I want to mention, we need to give Victor Radley a round of applause. He actually played good. Like, I'm not shitting you or anything. Like, this is the first time this year. I've sat and watched the game. Victor Radley's actually switched on and playing good footy.
Yeah. He was at his best.
Yeah. And with the rivalry game and with all the petty crap that goes on between our clubs, I was very worried that he'd go DEFCON 1, but he was really good. I'm going to say it again, Terrell May off the bench. Wow.
Yeah.
This is why I love preseason footy and why I love the trainer trial concept. Because this is how we discovered Terrell. We gave him a trial in 2022. I remember that first trial game against Canberra. And I remember messaging you afterwards and being a bit upset about the result, but being really hyped on Terrell May.
Yes, I do remember that, yeah.
And seeing him and riding the coattails of him, Wong and White, it has been outstanding to watch, and I'm really proud of Terrell for the way he's done his thing. He's proven to be a massive diamond in the rough for us, but honest and players I really want to give some praise to, Fetalaga Pauga. The work ethic on this man is unreal. There is so much promise here. Everyone, this is your guard speaking, and you are on the team. It's very important that he gets his acknowledgement. Brandon Smith was good. Teddy was good. But one more player that deserves my praise. Following web pack will stop at Stratfield, Lincoln, or Space Nest. Billy Smith.
Yes.
Now, when the Roosters went into a bit of a lull after Billy Smith had sort of his breakout games in first grade, we were a bit questionable thinking that he might miss out. All of a sudden, the question's asked when the Roosters are full strength, how does Dom Young fit in this back line?
That's a very good question, isn't it?
And as sad as it is, I think Billy might miss out to start with, but injuries happen in sport, as we've seen time after time. And I think that as soon as an injury happens, Billy will work his way in the side. But again, it would not surprise me if we do give a tap on the shoulder to Joey Suaalii at the end of the year and same off to Rara. And it's nothing against Joseph. It's just how we fit 6, 7, 8 players into 5.
It's a good nightmare for Trent Robertson, but it's still a nightmare nonetheless, isn't it?
It is, but also Sammy Walker. That was when Robbo sent him back to New South Wales Cup. This was all he wanted him to do, game manage. And he did that job in spades, didn't he?
100% he did. He was phenomenal, I thought, for the best way to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got in and did his job, really took pressure off Luke Geary. Yeah, exactly what the Roosters needed.
Also, Egan Butcher and Lindsay Collins starting up front, I thought, did an amazing job as well. Angus Crichton didn't do anything bad this week. So some good signs leading into the finals for the Troy colours. Now, excuse my gloating as we talk about the demise of South Sydney. Fuck you, Russell Crowe. You deserve this so much. You can't tell I'm a Rooster supporter, can't you?
A little bit.
Don't. But let's just go through it quickly. When Michael Cheekham is one of your best players. all seriousness, Cam Murray was good. Totola was good. That's about it.
He was just embarrassing by the Rabbitohs, all things considered.
What do you make of the... Move away from the guard. what do you make of the stuff around Lachie Ilias and Cody Walker? I mean, Cody's had a loose temper before, but with the season on the line, did you expect a little bit more from Ilias?
I feel like Ilias sort of went into a bit of a coast mode once Latrell came back. Just sort of felt comfortable sitting in the backseat, letting Latrell and Cody and Damien Cook do all the work. And I feel like when, obviously, with Latrell missing through suspension, he didn't make that step up. He had to. 100% I expected more from him. He had to be that calming figure. You knew Cody Walker was going to get overhyped for this game. Ilias had to step up and get him, be that calming figure, be that Adam Reynolds for the Rabbitohs, and he wasn't. And, you know, it's something that I think the Rabbitohs will have to look at next season as to what they do with the halfback situation. Especially with Jack Wyden coming in, who can play in the halves, they have to make a call.
They do, and this now means that for the first time since in the NRL era, but going back to 1992 with the Roosters, the first time a club has led the competition after 11 rounds and missed the finals.
Yeah.
Of course, 1992 was the top five, but we don't talk about that. But look, obviously, elephant in the room, Blake Taff got knocked out after 18 minutes. Secondly, I still think there was areas for that side where you had Tane Milner's an option on the bench. I still think he's a better option to carry, especially in these rivalry games where it can get a bit feisty. And outside backs do have a tendency of getting hurt.
I agree 100%. Yeah, it's an interesting one, really.
Because Milne has the body where he can play in the forwards.
Yeah, 100% he does. Sort of rock and ball type thing, when you think about it.
The fact we're using Jaden Ockenbore as a comparison is the sign.
And it's right.
It is 100% right, but there is one thing we have to do to eliminate South Sydney from the Telstra Premiership.
Very unfortunate.
It's not very unfortunate. It's the best thing to happen all year. anything else in this game before we move on to Finns up against the Warriors reserve grade side?
Now let's keep sniffing.
Finns are back up in Redcliffe, ladies and gentlemen. A 34-10 win over the Warriors in this one. The Warriors rested a bunch of stars. They gave Dubuz out onto the bench to Kalani going and Paul Roach. But the Dolphins just had their number early and they took advantage. Four tries in the first half. They were playing this really expansive style of footy. They threw the ball around. 21 offloads to 8. The Warriors missed 36 tackles and had 41 ineffective tackles. So the Warriors struggling to wrap the ball up a little bit in this one. 15, was that, did I read that right? 15 line breaks to 3 as well.
Yeah. Think of a mess.
But Jermaine Asako wins the Kenner by medal for most tries in the regular season. 12 runs, 204 metres, 3 line breaks, Jack Bostock probably had his best game in first grade. 5 line break assists for Cody Nikorima.
Yeah. Back to what he's
done. Jared Wallace had 3 line break assists.
What the fuck?
He was playing like this lock second ball playing role, and it was going good.
Snap back to reality.
Isaiah Katoa was good at hooker in his first sort of full game there. Harrison Graham went off with an unfortunate injury. Katoa looked good. He picked up a try. Max Plath played well in the lock role. Valentine Vale, Val Meninga, whatever you want to call the man, he was dynamic as well, running the football. But an all-round solid Dolphins performance to close out their first season in the Big Smoke.
I agree. End of the day, 9 wins is probably at the upper end of expectations. But I definitely think they, you know, a little bit of disappointment with from where they were at the start of the season to where they finished. But you have to expect that with the amount of young players they had in the squad, as well as obviously a bit of injury issues to the older players as well.
They used 33 players this year.
Yeah, exactly. Heading into next season, bring in guys like Farnworth, bring in guys like Flegler.
Averillo.
It'll be a massive boost for the Dolphins. Yeah, it'll be a massive boost for the Dolphins. They'll probably find themselves in a situation where the expectation will be to challenge for a top 8 spot. I'd like to see, but I think for a foundation club, or not a foundation club, it's a new club, the foundation has been laid pretty well in this first season.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And also seeing career renaissances for guys like Asako, guys like Nikorima, Tabu Ifedo's finding his own at fullback. Tessie New, I think, sort of reinvigorated his career in the last sort of few weeks as well. Mark Nichols is establishing himself as a leading front rower. Lemuelu's finding a home on the edge. SASA, even though he's going to hole next year, he's saying farewell to the club. There's some good foundations here for the Dolphins to advance into 2023 and beyond in their lifetime as a club. But for the Warriors, I know they are resting a lot of players, but are you a little bit worried heading into September, especially with guys that are likely to play, like your Barnett, your Niokoros, your Walkers, your Tamari Martins, all playing? Or is this just the loss they had to have going into September?
It's obviously a bit of almost a scheduled loss, really. Like you said, they had a lot of top-line talent sitting out. But at the same time, you do have concerns. Tamari Martin wasn't spectacular, I thought. Obviously, on that first game back from that fractured leg. But he wasn't at his best. He had, obviously, as well, Tohu Harris. He's going to be hit or miss for that game against Penrith on Saturday. I guess at the end of the day, the Warriors, they live or die with Sean Johnson, really. So, obviously, with Johnson on the squad, this was a game they weren't able to win. They didn't win. Johnson back in, who knows? Obviously, their form the last few weeks hasn't been the best, but we will have to wait and see how they go against Penrith before we get any real gauge of what to expect.
Yeah, 100%, my friend. Some good signs, though, I thought. Tua Picky was good at the back. Good to see Ed Cossey play some football again. Adam Pompey is a great centre. Montoya, good on the wing. But defensively, some of these guys just need to wrap the ball up a little bit more. Volkman had 8 ineffective tackles on Saturday. Who else had high counts? Lusick, Karen, Niokorle, Sirinen all had high counts as well of ineffective tackles. So I think that'll be a point of focus coming up against Penrith, who loves second phase footy.
Yeah, 100%.
Anything else for this game, my friend?
No, let's keep moving on.
Let's keep moving on. And it's Penrith wrapping up their second consecutive minor premiership, their third in 4 years, with a 44-12 victory over the North Queensland Cowboys, ending their finals charge for another year. And the Cowboys went out in a whimper. The Panthers absolutely dominated proceedings, scoring 5 tries in the first half, including 4 in the final 20 minutes of the first half. And, mate, that was absolutely ruthless from the Penny Panthers.
Yeah, they didn't come around to just mess around a little bit. They came to win. They saw they conquered.
Yeah, 100%. And it's going to be bittersweet for Penrith because obviously the last regular season game at home for Stephen Crichton, Spencer Lenu going to their new surroundings next year. But some solid performances. Dylan Edwards, 145 metres. Contrary to Andrew Abdo, it only has 2 line break assists and a try assist. I don't know where this 193 figure is coming from.
Must have been playing some basketball.
Like, I don't get it with him. Like, we never even had it on our website, and he had 193 anythings.
Like, I don't know what he was on.
Certainly I think wasn't the chairman's lounge at Penrith must have had some over exuberant beverages.
Yes,
that's all I'm going to say.
Probably an open tap as well.
Oh, yeah, 100% open tap. Could you imagine Abdo and PBL on the beers?
I don't want it.
But again, first litmus test for the Jack Cogger, Nathan Cleary halves combination. How do you think it went?
They got a pass, that's for sure. I thought they, especially Cogger, stepping into what he had to do. Obviously, I was concerned that he wouldn't be as dynamic as Jerome Blue Eye, which could hurt the Panthers, but he got the job done. Yeah, he didn't overplay his hand. Did exactly what he needed to do to keep Stephen Crichton and Tanaa Taruva in the game. And yeah, I think first up they pass, but going up against the Warriors, especially that edge defense, if they have Tohu Harris, that's going to be a bigger test.
Yeah, Tohu Harris is an interesting one. I definitely think some second phase play would trouble them in and around the ruck. James Fisher-Harris, good in the middle. And again, they've just absolutely troubled them. Good to see Isaac Tungo come back from injury too.
Yeah, I agree. Thought Tungo was very good. Surprised he played. I thought they might have kept him another week out.
I think they would have needed to give him a game. Sorry to just cut you off before.
Yeah,
just to get good. That combination with Cogger right before next week. Because there's nothing worse than heading into the finals with a cold combination against a Warriors team that can be unpredictable.
Yeah, that's fair. And I thought they'd beat me.
Next stop is Lincoln. Change at Lincoln for Liverpool.
There you go. Change at Lincoln for those stations, ladies and gentlemen. But on the Cowboys. They went out with a whimper. Todd Payton, very upset with his team in the shadows of full-time, actually blaming his team, not the referee. I'm actually shocked.
Yeah, he actually called out players for once.
Todd Payton said it was a sign of weakness. He was filthy at full-time and said back row Luchi Lano Leilua was the only one of his players who was up for the fight.
Bit rough given Tamalolo spent the first half hour of the game on the bench and really didn't get the chance to. But I understand where he's coming from.
But hang on a moment. Hang on a moment. I'm just going to throw this back on Todd Payton here. You are fucking starting Cohen Hess. What do you expect?
Exactly.
You're starting a starting prop who had 4 runs for 31 metres.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think they made their bed and they lay in it at the end of the season. They didn't miss the finals because they lost to Penrith. They missed the finals because of their poor performance outside of that 7-game win streak.
Let's just take a look at who they lost to this year and we can debate some of these losses. I think the loss against Canterbury at Homebush, the 66-18 performance, the loss against Parramatta at Origin period, and then dropping 4 out of their last 5 is the reason why they missed the finals.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. They literally only had to win one of those games, and they'd be in the finals.
Mm-hmm. 100% right. And ultimately, that's where they are as a club at the moment, and they're in 11th position, and let's do it again. They're gone.
Goodbye, Cowboys.
And then, yeah, very disappointing for North Queensland. They went out with a whimper. Don't know what they do next year. Like, who's off contract for them at the moment? Let's see what the additions they can clean out they can have next year at the club, because I have them earmarked as a grand final team, and I think that this is a massive disappointment. So, Cowboys.
I had them second. I had them second.
So, the Cowboys are getting Jake Clifford and Viliami Vailea next year. They're losing Peter Hicku, which most people would be happy with, and then James Tarmo is retiring. But off contract, as things stand, you have Burke, Dunn, Brendan Elliott, Ben Hampton, Jordan McLean, Sadrugu, Shibasaki, because Riley Price is already off to Penrith, from all reports.
Yeah.
And Sadrugu has apparently been in talks with Canterbury, so you got that to play with as well. So, yeah, and looking at the list of players off contract, there's not really a lot left, to be honest, as far as quality players, with all due respect. Like, let's just take a look and see what is off contract on zero tackle. And probably from there you can chop off a couple. But, like, it's slim pickings at this time of the year, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, they'll have to be banking on some of the more salary cap restricted clubs allowing one of their better players to leave for them to make any sort of impact in the market now. But even then, their cap situation is not the best. They obviously have Tamalolo on that large contract.
Townsend's
getting paid a pretty penny. I'm sure Hess is still pretty overpaid.
Val
is obviously on that big contract.
Drinkwater's got to be in for an upgrade soon.
Yeah, the same with Tommy Dearden.
Yeah, 100%. So, slim pickings for the Cowboys there. But moving on to the Knights 32, the Dragons 12. And on officiating still, this was Ben Cummins' last game as an NRL referee. Say what you want about him, wave your arms and six again, but ultimately he's the game's longest-serving referee, and he deserved to go out on this on his terms, and we wish him all the very best.
100%.
But let's talk about the game. Newcastle absolutely dominated. They were really good. Considering some of the rest of the players, they could have gone on with it and been a bit more ruthless, but they did what they had to do to get the victory. Dominic Young even decided to get a bit fancy, throwing in some cartwheels to score some acrobatic tries, and holy dooly, these wingers are just doing some fancy shit at the moment.
Haven't created with it.
They are. Yes. Like, what's next? A round of back handspring to score?
Might as well.
Style points? I've just thought of it.
Yeah, what's it going to be?
They're going to do what Jerome Simpson from the Bengals did.
Probably be a bit harder to ground it.
So that's why you ground it, you do a front flip over the player, and then score. Or you could do what Blake Ferguson tried to do against the Tigers in 2020. Jump in the air and then put the ball down between your legs.
True.
But let's talk back on track to the game. Young and Marzio outstanding out of yardage. Dylan Lucas was good at on the edge once again. We thought about, they thought we'd rest Tyson Brazil. Riley Jones was good out of dummy half, as was Oren Keeley. Jack Everington starting. I don't think that's the answer in the finals, Chief.
Yeah, nah.
In his 45 minutes, guess how many runs he had?
Less than 7?
Yes.
Less than 4?
Right on, 4.
Oh, bloody hell.
Matt with 1 T in the same amount of time on the bench had 10 runs.
Nice.
Please.
Matt with 1 T. We had the fancy names. We had Matt with 1 T, Oren Keeley.
Bring out the fancy dining table.
Phoenix couldn't join us.
The China ware.
Phoenix couldn't join us, but Farmanu did at hooker. JSAF went off his nudie run with a try in the first half, but for the Dragons, their season ended in a wimp, not a whimper. Disappointing way for the Dragons to go out, but it just sums up their season, doesn't it?
Exactly. Rough the year for the Dragons.
Flano's going to have to fix his fast. They need a new winger because I don't think that third guy is the answer, respectfully. Blake Laurie tries his backside off and is exempt. Lomax, Ravawala, Suli, even Terrell Sloan's exempt this week. Benny Hunt's exempt, but I think everyone else that we don't mention deserves to go out and look for some new employment.
I think there's going to be a lot of clean-out happening over the next couple of months of the Dragons.
Billy Burns has to go first. 42 tackles made. That's good. 8 misses for ineffective.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't like to do the Jacob Little slander, but he had 7 missed tackles. Sorry, George.
Yeah, sorry, George.
We have to be fair and balanced on this show.
Boy.
Like, what do the Dragons
do? About the Broncos and Roosters.
I am very accountable on my team, thank you. What do the Dragons do from here, though?
That's probably the ocean again, dude.
I think they need to take out some inspiration from Talatau and Mona, just hammer their way through this roster.
That's a good one.
It's going to be a long year, long off season for the Dragons. They might need to do what some things to what their roster does at the moment. But ready to move on, my friend? Let's keep moving, and we have a special moment now. It is our final edition of this for 2023. Prepare yourselves for Tank Ball! And clearly defense was not on the menu for this tank bowl. We had 11 tries scored.
Not bad at all.
2 hat tricks and the debut of Casey Badger. And who did a very good job, I thought.
Yeah. Actually, I think that was probably one of the better refereed games of the weekend.
She did very well there. Let's go through some players. Keanu Keeney, ladies and gentlemen, at fullback. 28 runs, 227 metres. My God.
Phenomenal.
Tino, outstanding. Fifita, Fotowaka, good. Kieran Foran picked up his first hat trick.
First of his career.
Yep, and a fitting moment too for Cruz Leeming, our first player from the land of Swaziland. He got to go back to Wigan, scoring his scoring an NRL try in his last game.
Love to see it.
I thought he was quite good today in 80 minutes. He only missed 5 tackles. He missed so much more off the bench last week, so good signs there. Tommy Weaver's one brave bugger.
If you're exiting the train,
like he was in the wars, he copped the leg off Addo Carr when he crossed for his first try.
Yeah. Stitch it up and keep on going.
Yeah. I'm still confused about where AJ Brimson's best fit is moving forward. Like, I thought he was okay at centre today. Lothie Khan-Pereira, first Titan to score 20 tries in a season. Not bad for year one.
Yeah, not too bad at all. Potentially only up from here as well, so we'll see how he goes.
And he did that, I might add, by not scoring a hat-trick in any of his games this year. He did score 6 doubles, though.
Still not bad at all.
Very good signs for AKP in 2023, and he was really, really good today. But for the Bulldogs, they just need to show a bit more fight, a bit more wrestle, maybe a bit more discipline in that wrestling arena could help them. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I only left the brain burns.
I think that might be too soon. Sorry, Bulldogs fans, if you're listening. But let's just talk about it. Is it hard to say that Viliami Kikau might be the worst signing of the year?
I don't know. I think we can give an exemption because he had that injury.
Yes. But defensively, he is so bad.
Is that anything less than we expected?
Maybe, but I thought defensively he'd be a little bit better. Reid Marnie missed double-digit tackles today. Missed 10 of the buggers.
Yeah. Obviously, wasn't one of his better games. But again, I think it's a little bit harsh to say he's the worst signing this season.
Yeah, I will say, though, they have found a bit of a diamond in the rough of their own with that Blake Wilson on the wing.
He looks very consistent.
I like the look of him. I really do like the look of him. Again, their middles, Max King tried, Curtis Morin has great impact in the middle. They just need to better accommodate some of their players. And Cam Serrano is obviously in the middle of this rebuild at the club. And obviously some players fit better in, some players don't. Davey. But it was interesting to hear. I'm not too sure if you heard James Graham's comments about what Andrew Davey had to say in the Telegraph today.
I heard he had some comments, but I haven't heard the comments themselves.
So I think it might be fair to let our listeners hear this moving forward. So let's just take a listen to what Jammer had to say.
He's put himself in the firing line. Can I just ask, who's he?
He was a Bulldogs player. He played 2 games for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. Right. Came over from Manly this season. And he's come out and basically criticised Cam Seraldo and the Bulldogs, the culture. Let me tell you this. Like, I don't like doing this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think the truth needs to come out in that situation. Andrew Davey came to the club thinking he was going to play every week. And he got outworked by a 21-year-old called Jacob Preston. And he embarrassed him. And that's why Andrew Davey isn't happy. It's because he came under the pretense of I'm going to play first grade every week, and a 21-year-old put him in his place, and he couldn't get in the team, so he kicks his toys and he pisses off the Parramatta.
I do appreciate that Jammer always pulls it how it is.
That's what I love about Jammer.
Yeah, I think he has a great point. Obviously, Preston sort of came out of left field with, you know, an emergence through preseason and then obviously locking down that first team place. And yeah. I do feel as maybe there probably was a sense of entitlement from Davey coming from Parramatta, being sort of a bit of a big name recruit for the Bulldogs. I feel like there probably was a sort of sense of entitlement that he would just be able to coast in and get selected.
What do you make about all the old boys? Like, you've had Jammer, Willie Mason's been quite strong, coming out and defending Serraldo, and then you've got your News Corp types coming out being very anti-negative, very anti-Canterbury at the moment. Do you think agendas are setting in at the moment?
I think so, but you got to remember, I think News Corp are pushing for the Bulldogs to try and hire a guy like a Michael Maguire, like an Anthony Griffin. You know, they would like to see those guys get a head coaching role because they like to bend over backwards for News Corp, obviously. But I think, obviously, you've got to trust the old boys on this. They've all come out defended Cam Serraldo. You've got guys like Reed Marnie who have been very vocal and very appreciative of what Serraldo has tried to do at the Bulldogs this season. It's going to take time for the Bulldogs to see results. I think that club is in a lot worse shape than what we thought it was heading into this season. So I think the Bulldogs, they will have to go into a bit of a rebuild. There obviously is going to be some dead wood that has to be cut in the next few months. But I do think Serraldo, coming from the Panthers system, you know, a system where they did have that very quick rebuild after missing the finals in 2019 to then go make the grand final 2020, when obviously he's back-to-back premierships, back to minor premiership again this year. I think he does have experience going around, getting the team into what he wants it to be, and I think he'll prove it.
100%. My friendo mundo. Let's move on to our final game of round 27 and our final regular season game to recap. 24 points to 6, the Sharks over Canberra. First and foremost, this game has two distinct parts to it. The first 50 minutes where the Sharks looked like shit, and then the final half an hour. The first 50 minutes were a grind. I thought Canberra were on top for a lot of that. I thought they took advantage of a lot of things that went in their favour. Their Tarpany lifted so much in the absence of a couple of players in that opening stint before he came off hurt. I was really impressed with the debutant. Hohepapuru, Hudson Young stood up. Trey Mooney was big off the bench as well. So there's some good things for the Raiders there. But, however, and also Matt Timoko, before I go anywhere, 21 runs 250 metres. Awesome effort from Matt. He's had a breakout season this year, Matt.
100%.
Zach Wolford, 63 tackles as well.
Suck it.
How many
minutes did he play?
I'll have a look now. So, Zachy Wolford, 63 made, 5 missed, 1 ineffective. Percentage efficiency, 91.3.
Did Starling play hookup or
Wolford played 80, so I assume Starling, when he came on, played like a lock role.
Yeah, fair enough.
I was doing the Shark stats, so my focus was all on Cronulla.
Yeah, all good.
But I think, yeah, as far as Cronulla are concerned, like, the first half was quite lethargic. I thought the way they attacked, they really struggled to get out of the grind of the game. And it took him a while for some momentum to get wrestled. And it took Jack Williams a little bit in that second half to get going. He picked up that big try. But the turning point was Sebastian Chris getting sent off. Fair send off in our books.
Yeah, definitely fair send-off. I think left the referee with very little option other than to send off. It was a disgustingly bad tackle.
You'd assume that he'd be missing for quite a while.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to cost him a New Zealand jersey, which is unfortunate because he's had a pretty good season. Obviously made his Kiwi debut last year. Yeah.
While you're on that, do you think that New Zealand jersey now goes to Timoko?
100% it does.
Just doing a mate of solid. But for the Sharks, they were able to pick up 3 tries in the final 20 minutes to seal a victory and a date with the Sydney Roosters next Saturday. Nico Hines outstanding. 4 try assists, 3 line break assists. You can't. Once this man gets into the game, you just can't get him out, can't you?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why he's a Dally medalist, is there? Like, you know, form is temporary, but class is permanent. That's rung true from Nico Hines this season. Even when he hasn't been in the best form, he's still been able to show those couple of glimpses every game. And then there's games like this where he just is able to click into gear.
100%, my friend. But on that note, let's take a look at our final 8 for 2023. We have the Panthers, the Broncos, the Storm, the Warriors, Newcastle, Cronulla, the Roosters, and the Raiders. That is your top 8 for 2023, mate. We've done it. Both of our teams are in there.
Love it. First time since 2018.
First time in podcast history.
Oh, no, 2019.
First time in the history of this podcast.
It's because the Broncos have let us down.
They let you down last year in a big, big way. Now, looking at our ladder, I'm pretty sure I had the Sharks in 6, so I might have won that. Let me have a look. Woohoo! We won't talk about how many teams. I had the Panthers in 4th, Souths in 3rd. Melbourne missing the top 4. I'll go through this tonight and get up the whole panel's predictions. But
I've got mine here. So I picked the Panthers in 1st.
Yeah,
I had
correct.
The Storm in 4th, which wasn't too far off.
Yeah.
Raiders in 7th, again, not too far off.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles 9th, again, not too far off.
I had the Broncos in 9th, so...
You're a bit off. Where did the Titans finish again?
Titans were in 14th.
Okay, I had them 12th.
No, you had them 14th.
Did I?
Yeah, I've got it all saved here on my desktop.
Okay, I got it down in my notes. 12.
Or maybe you changed yours after the podcast.
Yeah. Maybe.
I just got it as we saved it on the podcast. Next week's final schedule.
Fair enough.
We got the Broncos and Storm on Friday night, 7:50. Panthers and Wires, 4 p.m. from Penrith. Roosters and Sharks from the construction site known as PointsBet from 7:50. And then the Knights taking on the Raiders at Newcastle McDonald Jones Stadium. Of course, we'll be back to wrap it all up right there and then. But moving on to the NRL Women's Premiership, we had round 7 of that competition. Newcastle 20, Raiders 12. Some good signs there for the Knights. They were down 10-0. They worked their way back into the game. Tamika Upton outstanding. 3 line breaks, 226 metres. Jesse Southwell outstanding. Really good signs. I thought Caitlin Johnston, the middle 2, was really good. And Kayla Romanoff, very impressive off the bench for the Raiders. Madison Bartlett, strong, carrying the football. Mackenzie Wickie, 250 metres running the football. Samaima Taupa had 141 metres defensively, 37 tackles. Shante Temala, made 39. Some not bad stuff there. Broncos 32, Sharks 28. A bit of a up-and-down performance, high scoring, but the Broncos managed to hang on for the victory in that one. And Neta Nuasala, 143 metres. Mariah Denman, 29 tackles. Gal Broughton, 2 line breaks, a try assist, and a line break assist as well as her 2 tries. Probably her best performance in Broncos colours.
Yeah, 100%. Did really well. Really brought out that connection between herself and Ali Brigginshaw, which we've been waiting for.
Brigginshaw's been playing through injury too. She had that nasty nose injury.
Hey, like I said, she never yielded, and as you can see, she's not dead.
So. For the Sharks, Tonegado and Penetani both ran over 100 metres, the only Sharks to do so. Taylor Holmes, 32 tackles, no misses. Ellie Johnston, 20 tackles. Quincy Dodd, 26 tackles. A couple of Sharks supporters said decisions went against them, but ultimately they just weren't quite good enough. Dragons 48, Cowboys 16. Mackenzie Wheel was simmed in for a horrible hip drop tackle. She'll miss the rest of the season out suspended. Fran Goldthorpe tried her backside off for the Cowboys, 158 metres and a try. Bree Chester topped the tackle count with 35 tackles. For the Dragons, Racine McGregor played probably her best game in Dragons colours. Tegan Berry, a bit quiet by her standards, only the one line break in 155 metres. Angelina Tikailanga-Katoa, 206 metres, top tackler, made 25 tackles, and that was Madison Mulhall, the second rower. Today's games, Titans 16, Tigers 4. A bit of a nice one for the Tigers. They were thrashed last week, really stuck with the Titans all game. Nevada George, 36 tackles. Christian Pia, 155 metres. Shannon Marto was 14 metres off 300 today.
She had
21 runs for 286 metres, 126 post-contact. She might be the best front runner in the comp.
Oh, definitely. Like,
definitely. Ivania Politi, 200 metres, and, of course, the game-sealing try. Roosters, 46. Eels, 12. This team is unstoppable. where is it? Taron Aiken, Jocelyn Kelleher, Keely Davis, all outstanding. Otese Poole, a double. A try to Amelia Pasikala, 6 tackle breaks. Keely Joseph had 11. Oh, sorry, that's not tackle breaks, that's hit-ups. Keely Joseph just had the 1 tackle break. Otese Poole, 9 tackle breaks. Taron Aiken, quite strong. Tackling Keely Davis led the way for the Eels. A disappointing performance in this one. Lindsay Tui and Mahalia Murphy, the pick of the bunch, and a badly beaten side. Looking at the ladder, Roosters on top, followed by the Knights, Titans, Broncos, Raiders just outside the top 4 on 4 and against, Dragons on 6, Tigers, Sharks, Cowboys on 4, and Parramatta just down the bottom on 2. Next week's matches in that competition. Just quickly, on Thursday night, of course, we do have Thursday night footy. Watch the game between Cronulla and the Dragons at PointsBet. Saturday, 11:30 from Newcastle. You've got the Tigers and the Broncos. 1:30 from Newcastle. Top of the table clash this one, Reese.
Definitely.
Knights Roosters, their biggest test of the year.
Yeah, especially with 2 games left in the season. That's effectively the first place shootout.
We love it. Sunday from the Gold Coast, it's the Cowboys and the Raiders, followed by the Titans and the Eels. On to lower grade report. We're going to focus our attention in New South Wales, first and foremost. First week of the finals there. Rabbitohs with an upset 26-12 win over the Warriors. Even match for the most part before the Rabbitohs ran away, but in the second half, Jacob Gagai sealing the game in the 76th minute. They did have to do it tough. Daniel Saluka for Theta injured off the first run of the game. Peter Mamazelis was the pick of the bunch. 3 line breaks, 123 metres. Tyrone Munro ran for 203 metres in a solid display. Tane Milne, 168 metres. Top tackler was Jetty Cartwright with 35. For the Warriors, they were weakened, of course, but Sedu 2, their best runner, 221 metres. Holy shit, a throwback. James Gabbay started and scored. Another throwback. Another throwback on the bench, Reece. Patrika Vaivai.
Oh, what? I haven't heard that name in years.
But yeah, their best tackler was Eddie Aramia Toyava with 41.
Can I just say, I do feel sorry for the Warriors, Storm, and Broncos feeder teams because they got gypped by their guys resting players. Knights as well, to a lesser extent, but
now they know how I felt coaching St. Dominic's College B grade.
Always about you.
Oi! I'll remember that next time I promote your content on our page. Rude, mate, rude. Canberra 24, Blacktown 22. Chevy Stewart sealed the game with a try in the 69th minute. Say the thing.
Chevy. Love to see it.
12 points, 169 metres. James Schiller, pick of the wingers. He ran for 226 metres, and he probably might. Oh, no, they'll probably just play Hopewadi straight in next week. Danny Levi, good at hooker again since coming back from injury. Their leading tackler was Mitchell Spencer with 28. For the Blacktown Workers Sea Eagles, I do not know how eligibility works considering Josh Schuster was able to play in the finals.
That's a weird one.
Yeah, it was a pretty stacked team. They had Latu Fainu at centre.
Okay.
It's quite bizarre. Josh Schuster did have two try assists, three line break assists, so it was actually pretty good. KO Weeks picked up a double, 177 metres. Kelma Tulangi topped the tackle count with 39. So next week's finals, you'll see Canberra take on the Warriors. And then the South Sydney side taking on Norths.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Looking now to Host Bus Cup in Queensland. Winner Manly 30, South Logan 24. Reece, you could not lose this one.
Yeah.
It does hurt, though, for South Logan. Blew the minor premiership and then straight sets.
Yeah. Just again, unfortunately with the South had so many players out with obviously the Broncos pulling up guys like Josh Rogers, guys like Jock Madden, and then obviously Blake Moser as well. A couple of others. Willison, etc.
Yeah, 100%. Braden Whittick at the fullback ran for 221 meters, top tackler Rory Ferguson with 50. Holy shit, this is a name I have heard of. Josh Stuckey. I remember that name. He debuted for Canterbury.
Yes.
155 metres has been with Winnem all year. Oliver Pascoe, 37 tackles. So next week's finals look like this. Saturday's game, Burley and Winnem Manly. That is on KO Freebie, so you can watch that game for free. Also, Sunday's game between the Brisbane Tigers and the Capras. That's at 2 p.m. next Sunday, also available via the Freebies.
Great to see KO putting on the few cups for these last few rounds of the season.
100%, my friend. It is time for this week's Lol Cow of the Week. This week, I'm going to go with the Rugby Football League in England. You might have seen this one, Reece. So first of all, I ask, have you seen an incident I am about to refer to?
I don't think so. I'm not entirely sure.
So there was a game in the Super League between the Lee Leopards and the Huddersfield Giants. With me so far?
Yeah, I'm staying with you.
However, there was a power outage.
Oh.
The lights went out. So instead of the game just being final, where it is abandoned and the teams get given a draw, the RFL decided that the match should be resumed from exactly the moment in which play was interrupted.
Why?
It leaves 32 minutes to be played, with Lee leading 16-12. It's a unanimous decision, which is thought to be unprecedented in rugby league because of fairness to both teams, the welfare to both sets of players, time remaining, the ability to, of spectators to watch the game. So the board will mean that these clubs now have to come back to the same venue. Fans will have to go to watch 32 minutes of football. My God.
Come on, guys. There's better ways.
But yeah, that is this week. That is my long cow this week. What do you have?
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about Formula One legend Sir Lewis Hamilton.
What's he done now?
So he obviously signed his contract extension with Mercedes to stay until 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Did a sit-down interview with Sky Sports following on. And obviously, when Lewis Hamilton does an interview, some of the questions are going to be surrounding Max Verstappen.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions came up around the sort of, you know, quality, like comparing what he did with what Max is doing now. Obviously, Max heading into tonight's Italian Grand Prix, he could win 10 straight races, which would be unprecedented. He said that it was impossible for him to do because all of his teammates throughout his career have been better than Max's teammates. Are you following me?
I'm following you.
Let's fast forward to Saturday qualifying, where Lewis qualifies 8th. And he qualified behind not only Max's current teammate in Sergio Perez, which you'll understand, obviously Perez in the Red Bull's the fastest car. He qualifies behind Carlos Sainz, who's also Max's former teammate. Ferrari looked fast, Sainz put it on pole. You can understand that. He also qualified behind Alex fucking Albon, who's in the Williams, also Max's former teammate.
Oh, no.
And then just to round it all off, guess where Lewis's teammate finished, George Russell?
Higher than him?
4. Ahead of Perez.
That's
you can't write it. You can't write it, seriously.
It's what we love to see, doesn't it, my friend? But on that note, that wraps us up for the regular season. We have been doing this for 27 weeks, and we are now onto the home stretch. We're going to keep on the same weekly format. We're going to be spending a bit more time deep diving each game. We're going to be doing a bit more of a look at the women's game. And I'm really excited for this back end of the year. We've got 8 teams that deserve to be there, some more than others. But ultimately, we have a fun final series in store, my friend.
100% we do. I cannot wait. It's still like, even though obviously it looks like there's a couple teams that are better than the rest, the Premiership is still pretty much wide open. Realistically, if the Broncos or the Panthers have a bit of a rough first week, it becomes anyone's game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing what we get. No matter what, I think it's going to be an excellent final series, no matter who comes out on top.
So we'll just have to wait and see. Reese, thanks very much for joining us, my friend. You going to say thanks for having me? Maybe not. We'll catch you next week for our look at the first week of the finals. Take care, everyone.